In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus says to you this evening, the kingdom of God is as if a farmer or a sower went out to scatter some seed on the ground. And he sleeps and he rises night and day. And then the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. There are just simply certain things about the kingdom of God that Jesus wants you and I to be ignorant of. He wants us to remain in the dark and trust that he is bringing about light in the midst of darkness. He wants us to trust that he is working growth amid stagnation. He wants us to trust that he is working out our blessed future when all life seems but a dead end. Yes, it's an odd way of teaching that Jesus has, but it is very effective. And when God is the one who is speaking, you might understand it is incredibly comforting to know. For the kingdom of God is like a farmer. A farmer who goes out to sow some seed, and then he turns in for the night, and then he sleeps and he wakes the morning. And so he wanders the next day after getting up in the morning and he sows more seed. And when night comes, he goes to bed. And again, this routine happens. Day in and day out. Then one day, as he wakes up and he goes out to sow some seed, he sees that some of the seeds have sprouted growth. They have grown just a little bit. But then they keep growing until it is harvested, until it's ready to be harvested. And the farmer, guess what, has absolutely no idea how this happens. And he is supposed to not know how this happens. But you and I cannot help not knowing. We are impatient farmers, if you will. We get curious and we get that itch to scratch to know how the seed is growing. And so what do? We might dig up the seed and check on what is going on in the dirt. But what do we end up doing to the seed when we dig up the dirt around it? We kill the seed and it doesn't grow. Or maybe we're tempted to dissect the seed itself to find out the mystery of the growth. But by doing so, we obviously inhibit, stunt, and remove all possibility of growth. The very thing that we're trying to facilitate, we cause not to happen. So it is only by being ignorant of how growth happens will growth actually happen. This is how the kingdom of God is, Jesus says tonight. He says, you don't know how it grows, and in fact, not only do you not know how it grows, you cannot know how it grows. Now, as a small acreage farmer in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for the last 16 or so years, it sure seems to me that we spend a whole lot of time and resources and the business of this question: how does the church grow? Or how can we grow the church? Or how can we get more people into church? And this reminds me, my first district convention as a young man before I was ordained to the office of the Holy Ministry was at Concordia University, Portland, which is no longer in existence for various reasons. And the title of and the theme of the convention was this: Tracking the Spirit. Trying to figure out the Spirit and how the Spirit works. And then I would read in pre-seminary classes things like natural church development, the eight essential qualities of a healthy church. Now, certainly, from a well-meaning disposition or from a selfish one, we always want to try and know how the church grows. And so it is that either they can have good desires or even nefarious or not good desires or ends. So good ends might be, we want to know how the church works so that we who aren't, so that people who are not Christians can become Christians, right? But then there's the nefarious ends of, how can I get the church grow to feed my own ego or to fill my own wallet? How can, good ends might be, how can I get people who are out there to be people in here? And this got me thinking, you know, at our June voters meeting, the Board of Elders, by oversight of myself and Pastor Fisher, we will recommend the release of 23 people due to their inactivity of not coming to church. And I instinctively asked, what have I done? Or how can I reach out to them? How can I get them back? How can we reverse this trend? But then I hear my Lord say to me, something like this, you foolish farmer, the growth of my kingdom is a mystery. Sow the seed, tend the seed, care for the seed, but leave the growth to me. So that is our temptation, to want to know how the church grows, to figure out the mechanics of the kingdom. But St. Mark, he reminds us of something very important. He says that the growth occurs, automatos is the Greek word that he uses, and it literally means without cause, or where we get our English word, automatically. The seed grows, the earth produces automatically the growth. It doesn't need my help, so to speak. The ground and the seed will produce grain, the blade, and the full grain in the ear, and the more I try to help it, the worse it gets. It's like a farmer seeing his apple tree not growing really nice apples, and he tries to grow it faster by squeezing it and trying to make it grow faster and better apples. It's not going to work. But one wonders, isn't it a good thing that we find out how the church grows? Isn't it a good thing that we figure out how more people can become Christians and lead a righteous and godly life, and so we all gather one eternal day in the heavens? Well, no, it is not. It's not for the very reason that you cannot not know it. Because in trying to know it, in trying to know how the church will grow, here's the point. We will only do the exact opposite. We will impede and inhibit growth. Because Jesus says you can't know how the church grows and that you shouldn't try to figure it out. There is a danger in even trying to answer the question of how the church grows, rather than simply trusting that the word will produce fruit as God says that his word will not return to him void, and rather doubting the powerful nature of God's word to do what it says. And what happens? Our tongue becomes the great tongue of the great tempter. Did God really say he was going to grow his church? He did. And he will. But we are tempted to laugh and mock at this farmer. Silly farmer, you need this program. You need this flowchart. You need all of these wonderful insights to grow the church. But Jesus says no. And to drive this point home, he tells you the parable of the mustard seed. And you know, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It is the smallest of seeds on the earth, and yet when it is sown into the ground, it will produce the grandness of a plant, of a tree, that will put out these enormous and large branches. So that what? So that birds can rest in its shade. The mustard seed is the word of God. And this word grows the church automatically, and then the church becomes this ginormous tree, a place of shade and rest and protection and peace amid the scorching heat and the rains and the snow and all of those blistering things. And so we can sleep like the farmer, knowing that the Word and the Word alone will grow the church. We can lay our head down at night and say, "Dear Lord, I'm going to bed. It's your church. Dear Lord, I'm going to bed. I pray that she believes, or that she does not continue to walk further away, or he walk further away." And then we can plant and we can sow what? Not from anxiety, but from rest. And we can confess from a position of strength and not fear. And we can know that despite what our eyes see and our hearts feel, that our labor in the church has not been, nor will it ever be, in vain. Paul tells the Corinthians, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." This is how it is with the Christian church. This is how it is and has been with Pilgrim. Pastor Fisher has planted, and I have watered, and God has caused the growth. And I've planted, and Pastor Fisher has watered, and what? And God has caused the growth. This is how it is that any of us find ourselves believing and having faith in Jesus, and that we are here. Because you know, and I know, that I cannot make myself believe, but that I hear the Word of God, and then, like the farmer, all of a sudden notices the seed growing. Wow, it grows. You actually now believe these words, and you trust these words, and you grow in these words that God has caused to sprout life in your dead heart, clarity in your mind, and peace in your bad conscience. And repeatedly the Christian asks, "How does this happen?" And the Christian must confess, "I don't know, and I'm not supposed to know either." So what? If we cannot know how the church grows, what do we do if the Holy Spirit then works where and when He pleases and refuses to be coerced and controlled by us? And this is the hardest thing for the Christian to do. We are to rest. It sounds completely counterintuitive, but we are to rest, especially to our flesh. But that is what Jesus is calling us to do, to rest in the shade of God's Word, to rejoice in its truth, to receive from its baptismal branches that we are baptized children of God by water and the Spirit. From these branches, we are to eat the fruit of the forgiveness of sins in His body and blood, and to know that this fruit heals all of our diseases and sins. We are to let God's Word show us, like a mirror, our sin and desperate need for Christ. And then, without pause, to know that by His Word, that Jesus does in fact love us so much that He spread out His arms like a tree and provided eternal shelter for you and for me. We cannot control the Word. We cannot force the Word, but we can and we must confess the Word. We must live daily in its comforting promises. And like the farmer, you and I can wake and go to sleep, and we don't need to understand how it all works. But one day we know that a great field will be ripe for a grand harvest, a kingdom of righteous plants, of all abiding in Him who is their tree of life. You can know what you don't know, and that is the wisdom that Jesus is teaching you tonight and in this parable, that you and I would know and stand firm on our ignorance that we don't know how the church works, but that God causes the growth and we rejoice in it. In the name of Jesus, amen.